Welcome to the Rise Up Good Witch podcast, a radical approach to herbalism, self-care, and the tarot.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the 68th episode of the Rise Up Good Witch podcast. This is Karina. Thank you to listeners old and new for being here today. Today, I'm sharing a conversation with a former student of mine, Rochelle from Brown Bruja. And we are talking about grief as a catalyst for connecting with ancestors, connecting with guides, and stepping into witchcraft as a full-time spiritual practice and what that feels like in times of late capitalism. Rochelle is someone who has such a strong ancestral and psychic connection that I felt really called to invite her to share some of her story in this space. I was really lucky to meet Rochelle and get to know her about a year ago during the spring 2020 Plant Witch Mentorship Circle. She was one of the students, and it was a memorable and intense time, as all times really are, because we started the mentorship circle in March, at the beginning of March, and by the solstice, by the spring equinox, there was the first shelter-in-place announcement that happened in California. Then, a couple months later, we went into an uprising because of the brutal, heinous murder of George Floyd. So during this really intense time, it was just a small group of us. There were five of us, including myself, of folks who were spending our time focusing on talking about plant medicine and witchcraft and ethical witchcraft in these times. And it was great because I think we were able to ground this community herbalism practice that, you know, I've been sustaining for years, and that the folks in the Plant Witch Circle are oftentimes beginning or strengthening, just using herbs to address the current situations of these times from like a folk herbalism perspective, because I am not a clinical herbalist and I don't do a clinical training. But, you know, I feel like the movement towards mutual aid that we saw in the last year has been really inspiring and crucial. And I find it as a grounding force to focus on, because every time I turn on the news and decide to look at a mainstream version of what is going on, I feel like there is this cloud, this like gaslit cloud over so many people. And many of them, it exists because of their access to privilege, and not feeling like I have power to change this cultural narrative that exists can be like a difficult place to be in. But when we think about our communities and we think about what capacity we have, mutual aid comes into play. And I would also say transformative justice, because, you know, maybe we don't have the capacity on a community level to address the harms of billionaire CEOs, but we do have the capacity to look at our own actions and see how they might be aligned with systemic oppression in small ways, like microaggressions, and to have the hard conversations with people we love when we see that behavior coming up. And I think of that as, you know, a practice of tending to the self, caring for the self. I've always thought in metaphors of gardens, because I have always loved to garden, and I know my own shadow. I have gotten to know my shadow so intimately in the last couple of years, and also out of necessity, because I have a public platform and people look to me for certain things. And for me to do this ethically, I have to be really engaged with my own shadow. I have to be looking at the ways that I'm capable of causing harm. For that, I think about this idea of a garden that we tend to. And we all have, you know, things that might come up, and some people have them worse than others. So I think like grounding ourselves in these times, instead of like in a political system, in trusting to vote someone into office, what we can really do is invest in mutual aid, community care, and transformative justice. That feels potent. And that is a big part of what I want to do with carrying out the continuation of the Plant Witch Mentorship Circle, which the new session will be starting in March. So if you're interested, you can go to the website. And in February, I'm going to start booking 15-minute consultations for folks that might be interested. So we can find a group of about 8 people who feel like they're really committed to getting together, talking about plant medicine, talking about using plant medicine for community care and mutual aid, working with flower essences, using astroherbology to some degree, creating content as well. So we'll create a zine, which the winter zine is still in the shop. You can pick it up. We'll create a zine, and then the Patreon zine I do each month, everyone will contribute to, and we gather for a new moon, and everyone has a chance to facilitate an activity that they created. So it's a very affordable offering, and that's because it's subsidized by the Patreon, since a lot of the content that we create is available to patrons, and they can attend the new moon workshops that we do. And that just helps me to keep this mentorship circle really affordable for folks that I think could benefit from this work and that will go and take it into their communities. So anyway, that's my share. So if you're interested in, you know, supporting this podcast, getting more content from me, getting discounts in the apothecary and on tarot readings, you can go to patreon.com/riseupgoodwitch. And everything I mentioned is available if you pledge $5 a month. And thank you so much to all my patrons for helping sustain this work. I appreciate you. You can cancel anytime. I know economic times are hard. It's totally fine if you have to step out. I still appreciate you. So check out the Patreon and definitely check out Rochelle's work. Like I said, I really believe Rochelle is like a very powerful witch and psychic, also a fellow Capricorn. For this episode, we donated to the My Movement Hawaii. I don't know if I'm saying the first word right, but I will include a link in the show notes. And this is an organization Rochelle told me about that supports getting sanitary products and menstruation education out to low-income and homeless women, girls, transgender, and non-binary individuals and incarcerated people. Because of the economic inequality that's happening in the state, this program is here to kind of mitigate that through a mutual aid. It seems like a mutual aid. So we decided to make a donation to this organization in honor of the podcast. Because of the support of patrons, I do have the ability to pay my guests and give them the option, instead of a payment, to have the money donated somewhere of their choosing. And I hope you love this episode. Don't hesitate, reach out and email if you have any questions. And please remember to rate and review on Apple Podcasts if you enjoy the show. It really means so much to me. You can also share on Instagram. Just getting the word out. Let's keep doing ancestor work in 2021 and beyond. This is a Hierophant year, so connecting with our authentic and true spirituality based in our lineage is really important. And it's especially important, I think, when we're trying to break the systems that we see happening today. Today in conversation with Rochelle from Brown Bruja. Rochelle, welcome to the Rise Up Good Witch podcast.
Thanks for having me, Karina.
Yes, of course. And as we just discussed, you know, there's a lot of energy going on and we're going to get into, you know, everything. Just an acknowledgement that it's January 19th and we're on the eve of inauguration.
Yeah, it's like we were talking about a couple of minutes ago, I've just been on edge for the past couple of days, and I'm not sure. It's just at that time where I'm not sure if it's me or the collective or spirits around me. I don't know. How are you feeling?
hoping for the best and preparing for the worst, definitely. Mm-hmm. I'm really focused on sending as much love and protection as I can to everyone that I know is going to be out there on the streets protesting tomorrow.
Yeah, same. I feel like that's all I can do at this point, or the mm-hmm. most productive thing that I can do, like prepared as much as I can, like for myself, like grabbing groceries and stuff. And then also just like asking for protection for, yeah, like you said, everybody that's going to be out there.
Yeah. So Rochelle, I am so happy to be talking to you. And yeah, you were in my Plant Witch mentorship circle last spring, and we shared, it was an interesting time because when it began, COVID hadn't come to the US yet. And by the time the mentorship ended, not only were all of us sheltering in place, but there was also an uprising happening. And I've just gotten to know you, and you're such an amazing, sweet, gifted person. No. I felt really called to have a conversation with you on the podcast. So do you want to start by just sharing a little bit of background about who you are and what you do?
Sure. So I run, I guess, a small business. Yeah, I guess it is a small business called Brown Bruja. And the core of my offerings is I give readings, and it's a combination of tarot and mediumship. A lot of times people's deceased loved ones will come through if they like really have an agenda, or they have something that they really need to say to the person that I'm reading for. And it's interesting because in the time that I have been offering readings professionally, I've noticed that there's kind of like a recurring theme in the types of issues that people come to me with. And I've noticed that it's basically two things. Either like, one, they're unhappy with their job or whatever it is that they're doing, and they want to make a change that feels risky, and they need some kind of like confirmation that what they're feeling, what they're intuitively feeling is the next step for them is right. Or they feel they've been experiencing some kind of like paranormal or spiritual activity, and they want to know, like, am I making this up? Or like, do I actually have gifts? And it's kind of funny because, yeah, I'm kind of going through the same thing right now. So Brown Bruja is not my full-time work, but I'm gearing up to make a pretty, significant, huge career change from the law. I'm a lawyer by day to, yeah, full-time witch, I guess.
So what brought you to exploring your own gifts as a medium and working with tarot?
Well, it's kind of funny because I feel like my spiritual journey kind of started while I was in law school, actually. So one of my really good friends and I, like, she actually introduced me to tarot, and we just do readings on ourselves about, like, you know, like romance and stuff like that. But it wasn't until after I graduated and I met my spirit guide in my bathroom, which was a really scary experience. It wasn't like fun or anything, because I didn't know like what the hell that was. I can tell that story really briefly, but yeah, that's what kicked it off. Yeah.
I would love to hear it. Yeah.
So just briefly before I go into that story. So that happened. And then I went to go see a psychic, and he was there. And my mom was there because both of my parents have passed. So my mom was there in spirit, and she was basically telling him all this stuff, like, you need to do this. And this is part of your life purpose. This is what you need to do. So back to the scary spirit guide story. It was around this time that I was getting into trying to see my own aura. And I had watched all these videos on YouTube, like, anyone can see their aura. So I was like, okay, like, if anyone can do it, then I can do it, right? And I was in the bathroom looking at myself in the mirror, which is like a very like cliche scene in like every horror movie. So that was like number one, set the scene to be scared. I was looking at myself in the mirror and I was trying to see if I could see my aura in the mirror. And then I was like, okay, well, maybe if I move my arm, I can see my aura like moving by my arm. And I lifted my arm up and I felt this like warm ball of energy to the right of me. And I was like, oh, that's weird. And then I thought like, oh, I must have like left my hair straightener on or something, that which like doesn't make any sense at all, but that's what I thought. So I moved my arm through that space and the warm ball of energy was still there. And I did it one more time and it sent this like really like low grade electrical current. It felt like through my body, that was strong enough to make the bracelets on my other arm like vibrate. And my cat was in the bathroom with me and I looked down at her and she's just like, whatever. And I was just like, what the hell is happening? And I went into my living room. I grabbed like my, I don't know what I had, like crystals or something. And I was just like, whatever's here, you know, I'm protected. I have a lot of ancestors. And I was just crying. And I called my partner who lives in Arizona. And I was in Hawaii at the time. So I don't know like what he could have done for me. But I was just like, I'm so scared. And then for like the next couple of days, I like slept with the lights on, all the lights on in my house, in my apartment, until I went to go see a psychic and like found out what was happening to me. So yeah, it wasn't like, you know, this like beautiful flowers and sparkles reactivation. It was like, bam. And then I had to go, you know, figure out the answers for myself.
Wow, that sounds terrifying.
It was.
Have you continued to work with this spirit guide and has it become more of a friendly relationship?
So, okay, the thing about this guide is that, okay, I know that it's a feminine energy and I know that it's not human. And I also know that she doesn't have a name. And I've only met her twice, that first time in my bathroom and then the second time when I was looking for an apartment in LA where I live now. I was getting really stressed out about finding a place to live. And I kind of had like drawn out a picture of the, like the ideal layout of the apartment that I wanted to get. And I was just like, I don't know, I guess I would, yeah, I think I was just like in an anxious spiral. And all of a sudden I started to feel even more and more anxiety, but until it was kind of uncomfortable, but that was actually the energy of my spirit guide. So I don't know, for some people when they meet their guides, or at least this is what happens with me, when she comes around, it feels like, yeah, my heart starts beating really fast, almost like uncontrollably, and then she'll come closer to me and then I'll feel like that, sort of like that electric current kind of feeling that I was explaining earlier. And basically she came through and I was like, are you my guide? And she said, yes. And I was like, what's your name? And she was like, you can call me whatever you want. But I think that means that she doesn't have a name. But all she told me was, you're going to get the apartment and everything's going to be fine. And that's the last time I've talked to her. And I tried to communicate with her since then. But I don't know, for some reason, my spiritual journey has been me just like figuring out answers for myself and kind of like teaching myself. Which I guess that's kind of how I learned, but I have it. I don't know. Like every time I try and find a mentor, I'm blocked somehow. Except for when I got into your mentorship. So I don't know. Yeah. I keep on trying to work with her, and I know I also have another spirit guide, but they're really hands off, and I think it's just because I don't know. They're just, they want me to struggle it out by myself, I guess. I don't know.
I think that totally makes sense. And by the way, thanks for saying that about the plant witch mentorship. I think that totally makes sense because I think sometimes when we connect with guides or deceased, you know, beings or entities and spirits that are from another realm, and this is a thing that I struggle with in my own psychic work. A lot of times I feel like the guides, maybe their messages aren't reliable, because they're still blocked with their own pain of what happened to them during their time as a human on Earth.
Mm. Yeah, like every spirit has an agenda, even the most, like, I don't know if you want to say like enlightened or ascendant or ascended entities. I definitely can see that. Like even with my parents, so I disclosed to you, Karina, earlier that I believe that my parents are with me right now. And I've been asking them kind of to guide me through my spiritual development journey too. But at times it's like, especially with my dad, like I really have a hard time talking to him because every time we connect, I want to cry. And it's because like that relationship hasn't healed yet. And to some extent, with my mom as well. So yeah, it's like, it's not like when people die, they're just like, everything's okay and eternal love. Like people are still processing their shit. Cause yeah, being human is very traumatizing. We go through a lot of stuff, so.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, you had an ancestor altar the whole time we were in the course that you were really focused on and working with all the time.
Yeah, it's a permanent altar that I have, and it's I actually started it after my uncle went back to the Philippines and talked to a faith healer there that told him that I specifically needed to make one. So yeah, I've been, wow. I have it here. My parents are on there. And then I'm also trying to, my dad is Japanese. So I'm trying to do some research on the ancestry on that side. But yeah, my mom passed in 2012 and she is actually who I inherited my, psychic abilities from. And since she's passed, yeah, she's been with me. But it's only after I guess like accepted this journey that she's been actively working with me to develop my gifts and stuff. And then my dad actually passed in 2016 while I was in law school. And this is all during my Saturn return, by the way. So yeah. Law school, dad passed, spiritual reactivation, it all happened. And starting Brown Bruja too, it all happened during my Saturn return. You know, I'm 30, so I guess that would, my parents' passing would be considered early. And, oh man, I just put this together. Like, I guess I've always felt that I've had to like teach myself or lead myself or take responsibility for myself. And I've kind of resented that. I truly do think that everything happens for a reason and that I had to have the experiences of my parents passing early for me to be able to do this work. And that it's not something that I, you know, I don't think that way every day. Like there are days obviously when I miss them. And I think like, why me? Like, why did I have to go the hard way? Why did I have to go through all this loss? Like, so in such a short amount of time. But, you know, as time goes on and like, even considering what's happening right now and like with Trump becoming president and now we have COVID-19 and all these uprisings happening, I really think that it seems like all the puzzle pieces are kind of falling into place and it makes sense like why all this happened now and why I'm here in this situation in this moment and why we connected even. Like I feel like it's all connected.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's some, I mean, life, yeah, like you said, like life is traumatizing, you know, like that's something that I just, as I get older, I'm like, it's just, you know, and then you start aging And you know, that's like I was just telling you, I'm like, why do I have horrible back pain right now? You know, like I didn't have that 15 years ago. You know, it's like the older you get, the more you have to face grief, like grief of losing loved ones and like grief of disappointment and grief of watching your body age and loss. And I think there's some real depth of medicine in the experience of losing a loved one and grief. And, you know, I experienced that last year, or I guess 2019 now. Yeah, I experienced that last year when my best friend died in a car accident. And it was, yeah, like these things that are so immensely painful, these things that are like heartbreakingly, like excruciatingly painful, like the emotional pain is almost like manifesting as like this intolerable physical pain of grief.
Yeah.
It has this richness of feeding us and helping us grow and like adding to our depth of character, developing psychic abilities and an appreciation for the worlds that we can't see. So I really feel that about you. You know, I feel like you have that because of the experiences you've had, like it's turned you into like such a powerful channel.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And while you were talking, I kind of realized, and I don't know if this is unique or like a common experience for people, but I've been to more funerals than weddings in my life. The first funeral I ever attended was my grandpa's funeral, and he actually died in my house. And he's the first deceased person that I've ever spoken to. He passed away. And yeah, since then, I feel like, and I think it's just like a part of like my culture, my Filipino culture, at least, like being acknowledging that like death is a part of life. And being okay with the fact that at some point, at multiple points in life, we're all going to have to deal with some kind of loss, and be able to like the best thing that we can do is to heal through the grief and try to transform it, transmute it into something that would honor the person or the thing that you are grieving.
Yeah. Wow. That's beautiful. I'm wondering if it's not too much, like, do you feel like when, you know, you were saying like before we started recording, you were like, I know that my parents are here. And do you feel like they show up for you at certain times, like when you're in a certain emotionally activated place or when things are happening? And, you know, do you think they have specific lessons to teach you in those moments?
Oh man. So I actually was talking to just like ancestors in general before we got on this call, because I wanted to make sure that I conveyed what needed to be conveyed. Cause I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I'm speaking on behalf of my family, even though you're not talking to me as a representative of my family, you know, I am. Mm-hmm. But I think they're also here because they show up whenever I do things to like solidify or further confirm or accept leaving the law, even though I took on 6 figures of debt, whatever, and moving to this full-time spiritual practice. They're there, I think, because it's like, it's so illogical, right? Like I went through all this schooling and I developed back pain and yeah, debt and all this crap just to leave it all behind 3 or 4 years later. So I don't know. Yeah, just my Capricorn mind, I think, is just like, this is irrational and I need like extra push from the spirit world to be like, no, this is what you need to do. And we're gonna keep on supporting you. And they were, you know, our relationship wasn't perfect, but one thing I will say is that they were always really encouraging of me and my sisters to just like pursue our dreams and like do whatever it is that we wanted to do. And they tried to, yeah, if anything, they would always just be like, you can do anything that you want, which is actually kind of surprising in an immigrant family. Although I mean, yeah, I did go to law schools, and I became a lawyer, so I guess that's an acceptable profession. But my mom in spirit now is like, oh, you can be a witch, and that's okay, and that's still, like, acceptable to the family, at least in the spirit world. I don't know what my relatives think now, but it doesn't matter. Like, I have to do this, so.
I'm wondering, you know, because you said you inherited your psychic powers from your mother's line. Do you think that your mother was fully able to step into that during her lifetime?
I think that she wasn't really sure what to do with it, to be honest. She was a very empathetic person, and I also believe that she was an empath. She was a nurse. And actually, a lot of people in my family are healers. My great-grandfather was a midwife in the town that my family grew up in, and he actually delivered, I think, all of my grandma's babies except for one. So yeah, there's like this healing connection through my lineage. But I think just like existing in capitalism, especially in I guess like territories that are controlled by the United States, it's unless you're intentionally trying to develop your gifts or are aware that you have these gifts, I feel like it can be really debilitating. And yeah, I think that did contribute to a lot of her pain and her struggle while she was alive.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I was just thinking, like, I had this vision kind of, or like this feeling of like, you know, your mother just being like, you know, these are the things that I didn't get to express and live out in my lifetime in a human body. So I want my daughter to be able to step fully into that, which I feel like a lot of times when I see messages, like me personally, when I receive messages from guides or ancestors of people I'm doing client work with, a lot of times it's like, depending on how well the ancestor is, like they want you to live in your fullest power because they couldn't.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And also something that I kind of just thought of, because I was watching the there's like a Netflix show about death and life after death and stuff like that, and I'm crying in the psychic episode. I always cry, even though it's like this is what I do, it gets me every time. But they were kind of just talking about the resurgence of spiritualism in the 19th century and how it happens whenever the world is in crisis. But to me, it's like, it's not a resurgence, or it's a return to our nature. Like, I feel humans are inherently spiritual beings, and that's why it feels so good to do this work and to connect with the spirit world, because it's something that we're all meant to do, I feel. I don't know what you think, but yeah.
I do. Yeah. I do think all of us are meant to. I think, you know, I just was teaching I'm doing like an advanced tarot class now. And in the first class, I was like, we're not really going to talk about tarot today. We're going to talk about all the layers that, that like get in between us and our intuition, just living in capitalism, living in white supremacy, in patriarchy, and just, the way that we are blocked because we're told that it's a sign of mental illness, it's a sign of being crazy, that intuition is not real. And because of that, like, you know, I think grief is a key in a lot of ways. Like, people that have experienced a lot of grief, I think sometimes get access to this key that kind of like unlocks the door between realms or worlds. And then there's people who are incredibly blocked that will never access that. And some of those people, you know, probably could. And then there's some people that are, you know, really harmful. And those are the ones, you know, really narcissistic and harmful, which are like the ones that have the power in this world. And they're cut off. I think that those would be the people, almost like the way that I'm envisioning it right now, is if we think about like this really old, I'm thinking about like you know, an ancient tree like a juniper, and how some of the branches are stunted and they don't grow very, you know, very far. And those are the ones, or like the leaves on a philodendron, like a, yeah, like a pathos or a philodendron, like some leaves, they don't reach, like the stem doesn't grow. This is just like a visualization that's coming to me. Mm-hmm. Like the leaves won't grow and then like extend for other growth to create. They just kind of stagnate. And that's what I think about people that are, you know, selfish and live only for themselves and like believe in rugged individual and have rugged individualism and have access to lots of institutional power because they're stunted in some way. And yet that stunt, you know, that act of like being stunted is what gives you access to power in the current system that we live in. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, because like exploiting other people, reinforcing these like socially constructed hierarchies is, again, like totally contrary, I think, to human nature. And when a lot of new agey people like to say like we're all connected and it's all love, and that is true to an extent. So I think that the further that we deviate from that, in the sense that like the more that like these systems of oppression, capitalism, white supremacy, patriarchy get reinforced, the further away humans like as a collective are pulled away from spirituality and our true natures. And I think that is part of the reason why so much interest has come up, I guess, in like the past several years to return to spirituality. But then, you know, we are still existing under capitalism, so it's like highly commodified. But that's like another topic.
Yeah, definitely. And because you're a Capricorn, you know, how do you feel about that? I just had Keon from Millennial Soul Food, and I made them talk about being a Capricorn a lot because I love hearing people that are Capricorns talk about that. But, you know, do you think that you're obviously incredibly accomplished? You know, the fact that you're 30, you're a lawyer, you've been like in your practice for several years, that's, you know, you've worked really, really hard, you know, and now you're at this point of deep transformation, you know, as you're exiting. Do you have Saturn in Capricorn?
Oh yeah. I have like everything in Capricorn.
Okay. But... yeah. Yeah. You're like, you know, transitioning in this way where you're like stepping into your intuition. And I feel like that's kind of a common path for like Capricorn witches, is like, we don't really like really own it until our 30s.
Yeah. Oh, also, I would just like to say that episode was amazing and I felt very seen, because I feel like Capricorn is not known as an intuitive sign, but yet there are so many of us Capricorn witches. So what do you say about that, people? But anyway.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's, I think because of this like overt commodification of spirituality, I've really tried to stay keep things simple, I guess, when in my own practice and when I'm talking to my clients. And what I mean by that is like, I'm not gonna tell people to like go out and buy like 20 tarot decks, even though that's like kind of what I did. Like, I feel like the stuff gets in the way of the intuition and the connection that comes from us. Like, we don't need runes, we don't need crystals, we don't need herbs, like, because our gifts come from our spirit, and that's like in our body. It's, we're not gonna find it outside of us. And I feel like the tarot, like, you know, I do all my readings with tarot, I love tarot, but there was a point, I think starting like maybe 2 or 3 months ago, where my guides told me that I needed to step back from tarot, because it was almost becoming a crutch. And I feel like I've overcome that, but there is that danger there when, because of, you know, how we're all raised to think and exist, that we can focus too much on the material and forget about like, yeah, what's inside and what we can't see.
Yes, definitely. That is the over commodification that happens definitely with witchcraft. I wanted to ask you too about, you know, because you did some in the Plant Witch course, we do, you know, some creating of our own formulas and essences and medicine making. And you did some work with a plant that is, you found out is an ancestral ally. So I wanted to talk to you about that.
Yes, bayabas or guava leaf. I made an elixir with you. It was a tincture of guava leaf and I mixed it with a holy basil glycerite, which I found out that holy basil actually is also used in the Philippines. My auntie told me that Ilocano name, it's, she calls it Baraniu. So that ended up being an ancestral medicine too. And I also found out that, I'm not sure if it's motherwort or mugwort, that is also a really potent medicine used in the Philippines. But yeah, there's so much to explore. But right now I'm just focusing on guava leaf, because, in the Philippines, they burn guava leaves to kind of clear the energy, similar to how some Native American people use sage. And you can also drink it as a tea, and it has different types of medicinal properties. But what I'm trying to experiment now with this next batch that I'm working on is to make a kind of like a potion to help people connect with their ancestors. And I mean, I don't know, like I really enjoy working with herbs, but also I live with three cats, so there's a lot of like cat hair floating around all the time. So probably never going to sell those to the public while I live in this space. But yeah, it's working with plants, definitely, especially like plants that my ancestors used in for healing, has been really challenging. But also at the same time, it's like, because it's so intuitive and you have to like listen to the plant and just like go with what you feel. I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I've grown a lot from that.
That's awesome. Yeah. I feel I'm lucky now. I have like in the space that I live in, I have this like little, this area sectioned off for my workspace, and I do not let my dog in there. So I feel you on the animal fur thing. I'm wondering about what types of offerings do you regularly, do you use guava leaf, or do you use any of the other plants that you mentioned, or any, you know, ancestral foods for your altar?
So I keep a certain elixir that I use for myself from time to time before I do readings. I keep that on my altar, but every week I do some kind of food offering to my ancestors and also to the spirits of the land that I'm on, because when I moved into this, the light just flickered, so I feel like they wanted to be acknowledged. But when I first moved into this apartment, there was a spirit that visited me and kind of welcomed me, and yeah, now I'm feeling more that it is a spirit of the land. They're kind of like coming into my energy space right now. Yeah. And they told me that they want corn, and I keep forgetting to buy corn. So I'm sorry. I'll get corn after it's safe to go to the grocery store. But yeah, I do that every week, and I try to cook foods that I feel like my ancestors would like. So yeah, it is a lot of like cultural foods and stuff like that. It's kind of hard because I'm vegetarian, and like my ancestors were definitely not vegetarian. But yeah, I feel like if anybody wants to start working with their ancestors regularly, just try and put things on your altar that they would like. So like, you know, and it doesn't have to be culturally specific. Like if your ancestors' favorite food was pizza, then you can put pizza on the altar. It's all about just like connecting with them and trying to like, you know, make them happy and show that you're still thinking about them and you care about them.
So I guess what ways can folks connect with you if they want to work with you?
Oh, so I'm trying to move away from Instagram for various reasons. So the best place to go would be my website, www.brownbruja.com. That's Bruja with an H. It's a Filipino spelling. And yeah, everything's there. If you want to book a reading with me, I'm trying to also develop a bunch of workshops, and I have a lot of things brewing up behind the scenes. But yeah, that's the best place to stay up to date with my stuff.
Well, is there anything else that we did not talk about that you wanted to share?
Okay, this is the last thing. So I don't think I said this earlier, or maybe I did in passing, but if anybody is thinking about making a drastic career change like me, because you feel like something in your gut is just pushing you to do it, just do it. And like, you're going to be scared the whole time. Like I'm terrified every day. When I started my Instagram for Brown Bruja, I was super scared. I thought that my family and my friends were going to think that I was just like, you know, something was wrong with me. And I feel that at every step of the way, but at the same time, it's like the fear comes. And then right after I do what it is that I feel like I need to do, I get confirmation from spirit. So I don't know. It's really cliche and corny, but follow your heart, because you can't go wrong.
Oh, I totally relate, as someone who finished their master's degree in to do anthropological research for research institutions,
and
no, I'm going to be a very politically charged anti-capitalist witch on the internet. No one thought that I was in my right mind. No one thought I was making, but I love that about you, Rochelle. I'm so proud of you. I'm so happy for you. I know that you're going to do so much, and your growth and expansion is only going to increase. So yeah, folks should definitely connect with your work, check it out, and support you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Rise Up Good Witch podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review in iTunes, and check out www.riseupgoodwitch.com for more information about tarot readings and the apothecary.